My name is Jason Renard Walker. I'm the Minister of Labor for the Black National Party Prison Chapter. And this is the article I tried to send out to the RSU the mail room on July 15th. But I just learned today, July 30th, that it was denied because they claimed that I attempted to send a friend, Noel Leon, cash to purchase ice, but they didn't see what the ice was. When I challenged this, the mail room officer, which was a male, he ripped it up and threw the confiscation form away, but gave the letter. And in the letter, it was a short note, and it was this article I'm about to read. The title of the article is Retaliation 101, Requesting Access to Resting Areas at All Reunions, a Big No-No. Okay, here we go. Andre John Boyen, B-O-Y-E-N, number 1750184, is an All Red Unit prisoner who recently had his share of retaliatory methods imposed by staff for his prison system. Since 2011, Boyen has been prescribed medication that, in effect, may consist of the hot weather. His daily medication intake consists of 300 milligram capsule Effexor for depression, 200 milligrams of Tabletop for mood swings, and 100 milligrams of Profenazine for difficulty sleeping. First, medical staff randomly revoked his bottom bump pass that allowed him to be permanently assigned at bottom bump for ACL and fractured tibia surgery. And here's a quote from Boyen. Someone has been running a scam, snatching our bottom bunk passes and forcing us to see a provider and basically pay $100 to get our bottom bunk back. Boyen suggests using others who had it happen to them, too, as backup to this assertion. Then, on July 12, 2019, Boyen was removed from the building designed to accommodate heat sensitive prisoners, 7 building that does not. I'm currently at 7 building. As he arrived, 7 building with guards, his face and neck were dripped in and dripping red chemical agents that contaminated the entire pod, suggesting he'd just been gassed in the face at close range. Boyen was denied the chance to decontaminate or shower. Here's another quote from Boyen. I was forced to leave the AC pod and move back out to population in the heat, he said, prompting his refusal to walk. Here's another quote from Boyen. An ICS was initiated and I was held on the fence handcuffed, posing no threat at all, when Lieutenant Reyes asked me if I would comply. So I looked at him and asked, comply with what? At this point, Boyen was blasted in the face with a riot-sized can of gas, dragged to the infirmary for non-medical reasons, then thrown in a two-man cell that was preoccupied with prisons in front of all cameras, contaminating that cell and their property as well. This is not a unique situation at all. The face gassing of handcuffed prisoners is normal and the recommended way to deal with righteous protests and civil rights violations. It goes on because the victim's brother tried to expose it or can't. And this is another section back to the basics. TDPJ created a statewide policy called Respite Training and Education. It is supposed to alert staff to how prisoners can access respite areas. In part, it says, one, inmates are allowed to access respite 24/7. Two, inmates do not need to be sick, injured, or feeling bad to access respite. Rather, they may do so to cool down whenever they wish. Three, to access respite, inmates can make the request to any correctional officer. Four, if there are problems, ask to talk to a ranking correctional officer. But what are prisoners supposed to do when ranking staff prep officers on how to deny respite access? Ranking staff like Sergeant Michael S. Mason, Sergeant Barbara L. Atterbury, and Sergeant Nikki Nicole R. Felder, staff who disregards respite policies tired out of ill will and laziness. Within the chain of command, someone has drawn a policy that allows only one respite area to accommodate over 3,000 prisoners, with access being given to 20 a day. Those who don't make the cut have to try again the next day. Out of the 20 that go to one building, which is the administration building, for respite, I've seen all make turnarounds to avoid bogus disciplinary cases, which are dished out to deter prisoners from using respite. Michael J. Waddell, W-A-D-D-E-L-L, is a racist guard who works for one building desk. He is the main one that I've seen that retaliates and sorts prisoners into giving up their respite pass to avoid Trump of disciplinary court. Here's a quote. The one building desk officer Waddell tried blackmailing our respite access by intimidating and threatening with falsified cases. Prisoner Jalen Fisher wrote in an affidavit concerning our attempt to access respite. Here's another quote from Fisher. Waddell said if we would deny respite that he wouldn't write us up, Fisher went on to say. Throughout the prison, a respite random memorandum is posted for all to see and read. If we hear Jalen being denied by pointing to the respite memo, Atterbury goes into cross-out mode. Here's another quote. Is that a threat? Are you refusing housing? You gonna do what clutching it right, using a can of gas ready to pull the trigger. The prisoner has no choice but to walk away frustrated. Felder keeps a no sign on her desk, which is her umbrella answer to any questions, including wrestling. She is swimming cross that too. On July 10, 2019, I received a false case from Waddell. In it, he lied saying that I refused to go to the house, a cross-out case. During the event, I was with Fisher. Our only reason for being in one building was to ask the respite. We were allowed to go by the sergeant and give him a pass. At this time, it was 100 degrees indoors and around 105 degrees outdoors. Within seconds of our arrival, Waddell threatened and harassed us. He gave several bogus reasons why he would write us up. An example, my collar was slipped up, Fisher was out of place, which was even too close to the wall. I had a towel around my neck, Fisher's hair was cut wrong, etc. But if we refused respite, he wouldn't write any cases. I pointed out his distorted manner and requested his name and how to spell it. Here's a quote from Waddell. Since you write me up, I'm writing you up too, he said, and then. Not only was we denied respite, but I received a false case for trying to access it according to their own policy. Anyone interested in the extent of staff will go can read all my other pieces on this matter without me having to recite it here. On July 24, 2015, Deputy Director Robert Harrison, ERISN, authorized a TDCJ statewide memo to all TDCJ wardens and regional directors, ordering all wardens to make air conditioning respite areas available. This included posting notices explaining where these areas are located and allowing staff and prisoners to use them as needed. But, like at the All-Red unit, that unit prisoners feel straight just asking for a place to beat the heat. Here's a quote from a prisoner at the PAC unit. I've only ever tried to use an area listed on TDCJ's notice once to a bidder, once, and that was a bad experience, said Fred Wallace, a plaintiff in the PAC unit lawsuit, and a declaration he wrote to the court. The All-Red unit administration are already prepared to counter any heat-related wrongful death claims. Since they do have a heat memo everywhere, they'll simply recite the stated specifics. They claim prisoners are aware that they can access respite 24/7, but are choosing not to. The state of Texas requires county jails to keep indoor temperatures between 65 degrees and 85 degrees, which is in Title 37, Texas Administrative Code 259.160. This is because when it's hot in the high 90s outside, it can easily get up to 110 inside places that lack adequate air conditioning. Since 1998, at least 23 prisoners have died from heat-related illnesses in TDCJ. 75 out of the 104 state prisons in Texas lack air conditioning, and this issue may never get addressed by prison officials alone. TDCJ claims it will cost nearly $1.2 billion to properly install air conditioning in all 104 state prisons. The most prisoner heat-related deaths being that of former micro unit prisoner, 54-year-old Robert Earl Robinson, who died on July 19th of last year. 2011 and 2012 being a year that 14 of the 23 prisoners died of environmental hypothermia, which is commonly known as heat stroke. The acknowledgement of this alone isn't compelling. TDCJ officials taking at least a small measure to ensure the safety of prisoners during the long summer. One step will be the creation of an independent oversight committee that can monitor the actual allowance of prisoners getting access to respiratory requests and without the threat of form and false write-up. This committee will also be composed of concerned citizens that could investigate heat-related denied respite issues and the whole staff that are in violation responsible. Till the end, readers file complaints against the warden's office and their sub-orders by contacting the ombudsman office and the Environmental Protection Agency. Better struggle, better win, all power to the people. And I also must say that since writing this report, they're not complying with their little heat directive at all, because every hour on the hour, they're supposed to come check me and other prisoners down the list, see if we need respite areas, see if we need ice water, or see if we need cold showers, and they're not doing this. And just last night, between 5 p.m. and about 3 p.m., I asked several officers, and they were all asking if I could come out to the cell and get cold water. It's not cold water, take a shower. And I was all denied, no. And the reason they do this is because they're lazy. So if people were to check cameras, they would see that not only did they not give us access to respite at all, but they're not even doing their security check, or they're not doing their heat restriction check, which is in compliance of a TDCJ lawsuit. And that's the end.